And it's not really so much about giving as it is about blessing. But they make no mistake, the Bible talks about money a lot. Jesus taught more often about money than he did about heaven. But we're going to see it's really about giving. I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So Jesus is in his temple. He's with disciples. He's observing individuals bringing their gifts in to put into the temple treasury. And if you can imagine the scene for a minute, so in the court, there were 13 receptacles there in order to receive these gifts. And they're kind of shaped like trumpets, if you will. And so you go in and you would deposit whatever your offering was into one of these trumpet-shaped sort of receptacles that were in the court. And many people, if not most people, that were bringing their gifts in that day happened to be rich. And in the process of coming into the court that day and putting their offerings into those trumpet-shaped receptacles, they were putting on a show. It almost seems like a scene of one-upsmanship where one may try to put more in than another just to show how much it is that they were capable of giving. They wanted to be seen. And seen they were by none other than the Son of God. Now, there was a little church one time, little church, in the South, and it was having a homecoming. Now, for those of you watching at home, if you're not from the South, and if you don't know what a homecoming is, and you might not, a homecoming, that's the way you say it, by the way. You don't say homecoming, you say homecoming. A homecoming is kind of like a reunion at a church. It's a time where people that had grown up in the church, they come back and they see everybody and they have sometimes dinner on the grounds. You ever heard of that? I don't know why they call it that. It's basically a picnic. But they call it dinner on the grounds and everybody gets together and they have a time of worship. And it's called a homecoming. There was a little church one time and they were having a homecoming. And one guy who attended had grown up in that church as a kid, but he had gone on and he had become a millionaire, not just a millionaire, but a multi-millionaire. We're talking big bucks millionaire. A very, very, very wealthy dude. And people were going around and they were testifying about what had happened to them since they had grown up in that little church and they had moved on in their lives. And this guy is called on to testify about his faith and how it related to the faith he had in his childhood. And he related a story about when he was a boy. And when he was a boy, he had his first ever enterprise. I don't know what it was. Could have been a lemonade stand. Could have been a paper route. Don't know what it was. But he said that when he was a little boy, he earned his first dollar. And he said that dollar was very precious to him, and he made a decision as a little boy that he was going to keep that dollar for the very rest of his life. So he had a dollar in his pocket one day when he was attending that little country church when a missionary came to preach. And the missionary told about distant and foreign lands the boy had never heard about before, and how there were people in other parts of the world had never heard of Jesus Christ, and how the needs, the poverty, all of it was just desperate. That little boy sitting in the pew with his dollar in his pocket, he said he started to think about it, whether he should give up that dollar or not, give it to that missionary to go and take and do something with in these distant places that he would maybe never see. And he said he struggled over giving up that dollar because that dollar was precious and he had decided to keep it for the rest of his life. However, the Lord won. The man declared proudly at that homecoming, "And I put my treasure dollar in the offering basket, and I'm convinced that the reason the Lord has blessed me so much is that when I was a little boy, I gave him everything I possessed." Well, the congregation, they sat there, they were awestruck by his testimony. Nobody said a word. It was quiet. They knew how wealthy this man was. They knew how much he had been blessed in his life. They knew how many dollars he had gone on to accumulate. So they're all just awestruck until a little old lady who was sitting in the front pew pipes up and she says, "I dare you to do it again." Jesus had an encounter like that once. Just a few chapters before the story of the poor widow in St. Mark's Gospel, we read a different kind of story. And this one is not about an older widow. This one is about a wealthy young man. And he comes up to Jesus one day and he asks Jesus, "What is it, Jesus, that I have to do in order to inherit eternal life?" That is the ultimate question, isn't it? What do I have to do to live forever? Well, Jesus tells him to follow the commandments. He says, "I'm good. I'm good with that. I can do that. Check." And then Jesus says, "Well, there's one other teeny little thing that I need you to do." Jesus says in Mark 10:21, "There's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." And the Bible says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. A lot of us are like that. A lot of us like our stuff. We like our possessions very much. The lesson Jesus was trying to teach this young man had a lot less to do with his possessions than it had to do with priorities in life and what we value. He's saying, value following me above all this other stuff. This stuff's going to pass away. Store up your treasure in heaven. It'll be forever. Don't store up your treasure in what's right now, what's temporary, because this really, in the ultimate scheme of things, does not matter. You've heard that story before, probably. But let's suppose for a moment that the wealthy man followed Jesus' advice, and he did give away all of his stuff, all of his possessions to the poor. Let's suppose that for a moment. Even if he did that, what we learn from today's gospel lesson is that there's still a right way and a wrong way to do it. Now, listen for a moment to the words of Jesus from the 6th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel. Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, so here's what we know based upon God's word. Here's what we know. If you're giving just to get attention from others, that is all the reward you're ever going to get, if that's your true motivation. We've all seen people like that, haven't we? The people that give to a cause just to get their name on a building or just to have the photo op with the giant check or something like that. We've all seen that, where that sometimes can be somebody's primary motivation. But if that's your primary motivation just to get attention, that's all the reward you're going to get. If we also learn that if you want to be rewarded openly, you give secretly. If you want to be rewarded openly by God, then you give secretly. And finally, we learn that you don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Now, what does that mean anyway? You've heard this phrase before. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. What it means is don't pat yourself on the back and allow your giving to become a source of personal pride. Why? Think about it for a minute. Personal pride can be just as dangerous as public pride. If you're just giddy knowing, you know, if you're just patting yourself on the back and you're saying, I'm such a good person because I gave so much stuff, and you're doing that privately, it's just as bad as those rich people that Jesus saw that were coming in, putting it on a big show, putting their offerings in the temple courtyard. Let's get back to the poor widow for a moment from the beginning of this message. So after the rich men had made hefty contributions, the poor widow, she comes into the temple and she throws 2 mites into the treasury. And what the woman gave that day were likely 2 lepta. And lepton was the smallest Jewish coin in circulation at the time. It was a very, very small bronze coin. Equivalent, if you're interested, it was equivalent to 1/64th of a Roman denarius, which was, for the most part in that day, considered to be one day's wage. Okay? So what she gave, what she put in the offering that day was 1/64th of a typical day's wage. And that was all she had. All she had totally in her life, the Bible says. Now, I wanted to get some perspective on this. Sometimes I wanted to figure out, what does that mean in today's terms? Okay, so I looked it up. The Bureau of Labor Statistics in the U.S. says that the average daily wage in this country is about $170. That might be high to you, might be low to you, don't know. But that's the average. If we were to take everybody and add it up and divide, it'd be about $170. So if we were to put the monetary value of her contribution, which would be all she had in the world, it would be equivalent to about $2.65 in today's terms. So it gives us an idea of just how poor this lady was. The total value of what she had in this life was surely, no matter where the number falls, surely under $3 in today's terms. So Jesus had observed the rich men who appeared to be very generous, but he also observed this widow who was not seeking any recognition at all. As a matter of fact, it was probably just the opposite. She had eyes just like Jesus. She knew what was going on. She knew all these really, really wealthy people were coming in and they were giving all this and whatever, and she knew she didn't have much. So she probably not only was not seeking recognition for what she was doing, she more than likely was trying to slip in and not be noticed at all. Because in her mind, surely she thought that even though she was giving all she had, it paled in comparison to what these other people were doing. Jesus says, truly I tell you, this poor woman has put more into the treasury than all the others. With her insignificant gift of 2 mites, she not only has given more than the largest single contributor, Jesus is saying, but she has given more than all of them cumulatively. powerful thought. So how is this possible? It's possible because the rich folks had given out of their abundance while she had given out of her deep poverty. And I've had the pleasure of traveling a little bit in this world and serving people in some of the poorest places on this planet. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. If you're watching by television, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But here's what I can tell you about it. When you go to a place where people have nothing, and by nothing I mean nothing, there are no grocery stores, there are no roads. If people are lucky enough to have a house, the house is probably made out of tar paper or something. And they have nothing. They have no education. They really don't have food to eat. They don't have a place to live. They don't have infrastructure. They don't have running water. They don't have anything. Okay? So if you go to that place and you go to serve these people, one of the most unsettling things about that, and something that doesn't add up in your head, is that you're going to find that these people are happier than you are. You're gonna show up there with this idea that you're swooping in, wearing your cape to serve these people, and you're going to learn more from them and their poverty, and you're going to receive more than you ever gave, because there's a happiness and a joy that comes when you strip away all the possessions and all the stuff. And it doesn't compute in your head. It just doesn't. And you're like, how could this be possible? How could these people be so happy? But they are. These people, not only are they happy, but more often than not, they'll want to give you what little bit they have. They might only have a couple of cups of rice to their name, but they want you to come into their home, and they want you to sit down, and they want to feed you. And you're there, and you just can't understand it. How is this possible that these people want to serve me when they have nothing? But they joyfully give to you out of their poverty. And it's something in our culture, in our Western context, we just can't get. We can't understand. So I don't know if you can relate or not to the story of this poor widow, but I think most of us can relate to her at some level. We don't know what she was thinking when she made that contribution. Probably she was in her own mind comparing herself to others. And I think all of us have felt that way at some point. Comparison is one of the most dangerous things you can ever do. The Bible says if any comparisons are to be made, let them be made with the person Jesus Christ, not with your neighbor. But I think all of us have felt that way at some point. What difference can my tiny little financial gift make? Really, it's a drop in the bucket. What difference can those few bucks make? What difference can the few hours I have to volunteer make? I don't have much time. I just got an hour here, an hour there. What difference does it make in the overall scheme of things? What difference can these two cans of soup I'm going to donate really make? What difference can making a phone call or giving a kind word to somebody really make in the overall scheme of their lives? The answer is a big difference. Because Jesus uses a different kind of calculator. I was talking to somebody the other day, it was a vendor of the church, and I was asking for a quote on something, and I could hear his fingers moving on his calculator, just adding stuff up. And I said, hey, buddy, try using the minus key instead of just the plus key on that calculator, because I think it'll work a little bit better for us. Jesus uses a different kind of calculator, but on his calculator, there's just the multiply key. That's the way Jesus works. One time, 5,000 people show up to hear Jesus preach, and they've traveled a long way, and they're far from home, and Jesus says, what are we going to feed these people? And one of his disciples says, well, we don't have any food, but there's a kid here. He's got 5 loaves of bread. He's got 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? But guess what? Jesus made it enough. The little boy gave all he had. little boy gave all he had, and it was enough. In fact, it was more than enough. Why? Because Jesus pressed the multiply key. Here's the way it works. We give, and we leave the results up to God. And to do that, it means we really have to trust God in the first place. What does Jesus want? Jesus wants you to first give yourself. One of the questions we ask people when they're being baptized is, will you agree to believe in Jesus? And will you agree to put your whole trust in his grace? Why? Because the Bible says that God's grace is sufficient. When we don't feel it, when we don't have it, when we're broken, when we've got nothing left, God's grace is sufficient. What does Jesus really want? He doesn't really want your money. He doesn't really want your stuff. What he wants is you, and not just a part of you, not just 1/7 of your week on Sunday. He wants all of you. Because the funny thing happens, when you begin to trust in Jesus, when you begin to give him your whole life and not hold anything back, you begin to understand your money, your stuff. What you begin to understand is it isn't yours at all. You begin to understand that everything we have is God's. Loaned to us, entrusted in us in order to do something with it. And it's when you take the little bit that you got, whatever little bit it is, whether it's just a few people or just a few dollars, and you trust God with it, and you invest it, and you give it back, that God presses the multiply key, and then stuff starts to happen. But it all starts with trusting God, trusting your whole life to the Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is ready to have a relationship with you today. All you have to do is say, yes, I'm ready. I'll take my little bit. I'll partner with you. I'll follow in your footsteps. Go ahead of me. I'll pick up my cross every day. I'll follow you. Let's go. God's going to press the multiply key in your life, and he's going to do things more extraordinary than you can ever imagine. That's all it takes. One step in front of the other, following Jesus. He wants your whole life. I hope you'll put your trust in him today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there's something you need to give the Lord today, whether it's your whole life or part of your life or whatever it is, today is the day to do that. Don't hold anything back. Come and pray. Come and give. Come and be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, come and join this congregation. If you have never become a citizen of this congregation, come and be and do. Because God really has a big multiply key, and he's just waiting to press it in your life. He's waiting to bless you. He's waiting to do things you can't even imagine. You just got to trust him with your whole life. Don't hold anything back. Let's stand. This altar is open for you today.